I've seen nothing but honor. That's all that's happened this morning, right? You guys, praying for you guys. Our children, prophetic words are honored, treasured, right? I mean, ooh, so good, so good, so good. Yummy. And speaking of honoring, I want all the dads to stand up. Dads in waiting. I don't want to let anybody feel left out. People who are online, this goes to you or out there. Is that everybody? Yeah. Dads in waiting. You're not this year, right? So, are we ready to honor them? Hit it! So bless you folks. It was a pleasure to come and just to share some stories. Some of them I'm going to share, they're on the lighter side. And you know, when it comes to dads, there's things that we wish we heard of our dad. We wish our dad would have said to us. Words. Affirmation. Now, so I've got something, and so for you people think, yeah, my dad could have just given me just a little bit more, I'm going to share them with you this morning. Things that maybe you were waiting for your father to share with you, but today's the day. Are you ready for this? This is your dad speaking over you. You're going to love this. 10 things. How on earth can you see that TV from sitting so far back? Right? How about this one? Sure. I used to skip school too. Just leave the lights on. It makes the house look so cheery. Yeah, I didn't hear that one either. Let me smell that shirt. Sure, it's good for another week. Go ahead and keep that stray dog. In fact, I'll be glad to feed it and water it and walk it. Yeah. Well, if Timmy's mom says it's okay, it's okay. The curfew, it's just a general time to shoot for. It's not like we run a prison around here. Never heard of that. Well, you don't have a tissue? Just use your sleeve. Don't bother wearing a jacket. The weather's gonna improve. One more. And go ahead and take the car and the credit card and have a great time. I never heard that from my dad either. So 10 things that I would have liked my father to have said. And so there's a story about this dad, this father, who goes to the doctor. I don't know if it's a true story or not. And with ladies, you have to, the story, don't take offense, okay? I'm just kind of setting this whole thing up here. It's going to be okay. You had Mother's Day. You're first, right? I mean, so just hang in there with me. It's going to get better. So the story goes like this. So the dad goes. He goes to the doctor. So the doctor says, "You're in terrible shape. Unless something is done for you, you're going to die. You're under too much stress. You're not eating right. And you need to tell your wife that she needs to start cooking more nutritious meals. And to help reduce your stress, have her keep the kids off your back, just so you can relax. Then make a budget and have her stick to it. If she'll do this, there's a really good chance that you're going to recover completely. But if she doesn't, you'll be dead in a month." Obviously shaken, the dad said, "Whoa. Doc, would you mind calling my wife before I get home and just give her those instructions?" Coward. So when the dad gets home, his wife rushes to him. She says, I just talked to the doctor. This woman's in tears. I just talked to the doctor. You poor man, you only have 30 days to live. You know, as I thought about dads and moms, and I know there's a, they both carry something as far as parenting is concerned, and I know there's lots of fractured homes, and we honor that on those people that just kind of stick it out. But I figured as a child, around 8 or 9, that fathers carried something that moms don't. Wow, you would say, John, you are so smart. How could you figure it out at age 8 or 9? It went like this. Wait till your father gets home. So I knew even then that there was something that mom couldn't handle that my dad, oh my goodness, you okay here? Uh-huh. Bless you. What a guy, eh? Oh, he even unscrewed, I must look anemic, he even unscrewed the drink for me. But dads are definitely different. I like to think that through the years we've evolved. We've evolved. And I discovered a sound that as a dad, and I think it's a good thing for the dad, but it's a sound that I don't know why, it doesn't register, we don't get it. It doesn't happen, but I think it's a good thing for the dad. The sound goes a bit like this. Never heard it. God bless mothers. God bless mothers. It's really interesting, this being a prophetic church where it just flows, it just happens. And Dan, where is he? Downstairs? The guy used my opening scripture. And I thought, that's just confirmation. It's just confirmation. Wow, and he's just. But is it okay if I unpack it just a little bit? It's in Romans 8:38-39. And this is so encouraging. And this isn't just for dads. There's people here, and because some of you folks have just dared to be that transparent, that you've got your stuff that you carry. And if it wasn't for Jesus, I don't know where I'd be. But I'd just like to share this over you, certainly for the dads, because the dad I want raising me, it didn't happen that way, but the dad that I want raising me is one that knows Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior, and also just walks and talks. You know how it is? You know, I think it was when we prayed over Detlef and Heike. One of the things that was prayed for you, that when you would walk into a room, right? You know when you're carrying the stuff? Bethel calls it the sauce, the magic sauce. When you walk into a room, when you come into that place, the atmosphere changes. Have you ever thought about that? How does that happen? Because we have power over anything that's not a father. That's what you carry, every one of you. That's what you carry. So I'm gonna unpack this just a little bit. Romans 8:37. And before I even start into this, isn't it amazing what we can do when we know that somebody's in our corner? Somebody's got our back. Somebody, it doesn't matter, it's not a performance thing. I may flub this, I may stumble. It doesn't matter because Father has your back. There's nothing you can do to have any less of his love. Isn't that something? And there's some dad, none of them here, that's a performance thing. If you do right, Father will, right? If you don't do right, if you miss the mark. I remember one time, true story, helping my father build a garden swing. I don't even know if you know this, Lona. I'm sorry I haven't told you. When you hear the story, you'll think, that's why he didn't tell her. But anyway, so here he is. He's cutting. We didn't have a table saw. My beer's got a table saw. Didn't want to go to his house. He's in Salmon Arm now. He's moved up there. But anyway, he's using his handsaw to cut, a piece of 2x4, but it had to be half the length. So he's busy. Don't jump to the end of the story. He's about halfway through this thing, and he needed to step away for a moment. Potty break. And I thought, here's this piece of wood, unguarded. Me, full control of the saw. It can't be that hard. So I get on there and I'm just giving her. Did you know that thing had a mind of its own? There was a line there, but I couldn't make it. I'm a kid. My father comes out, oh. Well, it didn't go well for me. So anyways, all that to say. So anyways, let's go back to the scripture here. Yet in all these things we're made more than conquerors. Wow. You need to remember that. I need to remember that. Because you know what? As sure as Father made green apples, there's going to be something that's going to challenge you, something to try to push you off your mark, try to take away what you're doing, your purpose, whatever it is. Even be involved, and I just so enjoyed life groups. Awesome couple, Willis and Linda. I love them. But there's just things that will come to test you and push you off your mark. You need to go in knowing that. And it's not an arrogant thing. It's a place of confidence. And have you seen it when people just walk in that confidence, right? And you just know who you are. If you come out to our school, which I encourage you to do starting September soon, pull that one out of the fire. But the first year, you're going to learn. There's only one lesson you're going to learn. Whole year to learn it? Yeah, I was a slow learner. As a matter of fact, I'm still working with year one because people can tell I haven't got it figured out yet. But the first thing you learn is identity. And the enemy keeps trying to rip us off. That, I don't think there's a nice way to put that. Because if he can steal your identity, he can steal your dreams, where you're going, your hopes, your vision. He can steal that. So as soon as you understand that, no. And I don't think it's got a whole bunch to do with feelings. Well, I don't feel like. Isn't it good that the word isn't based on feelings? It's rock solid. So right away, I just want to see your chest pop out just a little bit. You're sitting beside a conqueror. So just wear that. Oh, that feels so good. It's in the book. It's in the book. You can't take issue with the book. So we are more than conquerors. So I don't know what a conqueror does. What does a conqueror do? He conquers. It's like he wins the war, wins the battle, the circumstance, the test, right? Whatever comes against him or her, he wins. You win. Well, I think that's pretty good. But it doesn't leave it there. I guess all that to say that this little piece of scripture, I was reading a commentary on it. It says Paul packed in as much as he could in these words. It's just jam-packed. You know, some people eat Cocoa Puffs for breakfast. 20 minutes, you're hungry. You got to go straight to kale. That's all there is to it. Move along. But that's how much goodness is packed into this. Vitamin enriched, or whatever word I can say. Is that okay? So let me give this to you. So he says, you're more than conquerors. Have you ever thought about that? Just to meditate on that? Well, conqueror, that sounds, I can get off the bus right there. Look at me, I'm a conqueror. But what does more than a conqueror? Where does more stop? Does more stop? I don't know. For I am persuaded, this is Paul speaking, and I thought about that, for I am persuaded What he's saying is that I know, I am persuaded, I see, the revelation has been mine. It's been downloaded. So you can take this to the bank. And it matters not the circumstance. A lot of us are, we're pushed around a little bit. Can I say that? I don't want to be mean. But sometimes when hard things come against us, and again, there's people here who can tell you what a hard time's all about. But here you are. I heard testimony, Beth, how it was a hard time. An easy thing to do with a hard time is just to stay away. I'm sitting in the back row. Doesn't go good. I am so out of here, right? Or I put $10 on the plate, and this week, nothing's come back. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if it works that way. I think Father didn't. You know, one of them said, you know, we're working with God. We check our watches. I prayed 20 minutes ago. Nothing. And I heard it said, we use a watch and Father uses a calendar. And there's people, even this morning, that I heard, like, I'm waiting for that check to show up in the mail. Hallelujah! But I just think we need to stay the course. And I don't understand the timing thing. If you've got it figured out, come see me after service. I would love to hear it. But Father has his own way of doing things. And every one of us have prayed. Sometimes he will pray for things for... Anybody pray for... I'm going to ask you. I want you to be really transparent. Have you ever prayed for things for years? Take a look around the room. You guys in the front, swivel those little heads around. Thank you for being so transparent. Yeah. And you think, I don't know when the breakthrough is coming. But you know what I can say this, Paul, is that I know the breakthrough is coming. And I will not be dissuaded. I'm going to stay the course. I know it's coming. It's not a question of if it's coming. It's a question of when it's coming. Is that okay? Ooh. I heard someone say, that's so good I should take notes of myself. Okay. I just heard that. I don't know if it's true. I just heard that, Justin. I don't know if it's true. So you're more than a conqueror. And it's because him, it says in the word, who loves us. Love is such a valuable commodity. We think it's scarce. We think it's conditional. Sometimes we even think there's not enough. I was talking with a good friend yesterday, and I said, you know what I said? I had this revelation. It doesn't happen often. I almost got a headache over it. But what happened when I thought about love, and I thought, you know what love is? Love is like a solvent. Those things that get in the way, those things that don't work for you, seemingly, those things that maybe are late in coming, those stumbling blocks, health, financial, whatever it is, but if you cover it and saturate it in love, it's like a solvent. Does that make sense to anybody? It's like a solvent. Put me down for some of that. For I am persuaded, neither death nor life. Now he's talking about the whole love thing. About how durable. How durable. Have you ever thought about that? The durability of Father's love? Ever thought about that? I know there's lots of it. I don't always understand it. I know there's more than enough, but how durable, when things get really tough, when I'm up against it, when things are not working out, maybe even some of you folks coming this morning, like, I can't find the kids' shoes or socks, you're going to Santa's today. I mean, there's a way around this stuff, but I mean, how durable is it? So this is how durable that love is. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, so either one of those. And most of us are experiencing life here this morning, right? Come on! Work with me! Right? But even should I pass on? And some of us have had dear ones pass on not that long ago. Nor angels? Wow. Nor principalities? That's a... Nor powers? Nor things present? Nor things to come. That covers most of time, does it not? I think that's like it's like Can I say like forever? Can I say that? Is that okay? Nor height, nor depth. I know one of the things we talk about when we're doing sozo. Oh my goodness, how come the clock so fast? Maybe because I'm talking so slow. But anyway, it doesn't matter what comes against you, right? And sometimes, folks, I'd be lying if I said I haven't had those things. And there's life issues. And I can look around this room and I see people who have crawled over that wall. In sozo, we can pray a prayer. Do you feel like there's a wall? And a wall is another way of saying, like, there's distance in there, there's an insulating factor, I just can't seem to break through. You ever heard that one? It doesn't matter. His Father's love, that's the solvent. Just pour it on the wall. What's the wall? That's maybe your trouble. That's your situation. Does that make sense? Okay, so height nor depth. Nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. You got that? Can I read that again? Nor anything other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What a promise. So you sit right in the middle of that. And nothing, no one, no circumstance, whatever it is, nothing can snatch you from, you're safe. You have that safe place. And even just knowing that, just being right in the center of His love, and you just let it wash over you, that solvent, that Holy Ghost solvent. Now, guys are wired a little different than ladies. All due respect, right? We bring things to the relationship. And we need to have that place, too, where fathers do. We don't see it like ladies. We operate a little differently. And here's a little story. I don't think it's true. It might be. That might just underline that. So was his mother... And she went into, had a new baby. We have a new baby here today. Hallelujah. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Yeah. Ooh. Amazing. Just stand up. Just stand up. Oh, look at that. Look at that. Take a look. Take it there. Live. 6 weeks old. And she already knows the alphabet. Isn't that amazing? So, bless you guys. Thank you for being here today. Amazing. But this was a dad, so he goes into the baby's room, and the mother goes in there, and she sees her husband staring at the newborn baby, just staring. The mother could tell that he was captivated, just by how intently he was looking at the child, the new baby. He just stood there looking, and just she was so touched. That finally she tiptoed behind him, slipped her arm through his, and said, "Honey, what are you thinking?" He said, "I can't understand how they're able to make a crib for $89.95. Don't know if that's true or not. But we do bring something of value, really. That's none of us here, again. That's those people down the street. But the things that we bring, the things, and I believe, and I said this before, that we like to think that we teach our children, and we do, but values are not necessarily taught, they're caught. So in other words, you're teaching when you don't even know you're teaching. And if you believe in things that just come off you, when you carry that Holy Spirit, when you carry that love, joy, peace, all those, when you carry that, even that's why little kiddiewinks can pick it up. You might not be able to explain it to them. They may not understand, but they know. And I think the principle is, you know, sometimes daddy comes home and he had a rotten day. And he didn't have to say a word. You just think, oh, don't talk to your father now. You ever heard that one? None of us here, but those people down the road, right? It just comes off. It's just who we are. But we just carry that. And we just demonstrate that to our children. And the father needs to take the initiative as being the spiritual leader in the home, in your home, in my home. Because there's going to be things that are going to come as tests and challenges and stuff. But part of what parents do, moms and dads, we're just highlighting dads today, is to equip them. And when's the best time to give the equipment out? When's the best time to have a shield? It's before the arrows start, isn't it? And we can do that. We can equip them for that. The next best thing that you can do is to love the mother. That's what we as fathers can do. And children see what healthy, durable, wholesome love looks like, as opposed to finding out on a screen or at school or whatever else, but in the home. And again, I want to say, with all due respect for those single parent homes, I'm not being hard on that. I'm just saying that it almost seems today, like, to have a mom and dad, it's almost, well, I'll say the exception, but you know, there's just so many single parents homes. Is that okay? And no disrespect intended. But it's hard enough for two parents, let alone one. Is that okay? So we just pray for those people. We just lift them up in Jesus' name. So in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Wow. Colossians 3:19, New King James, puts it this way. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter toward them. It's so easy, and I did it just yesterday. You bark off a careless word. Not cool. There's no excuse. It happens. But there's no excuse. Okay. Anybody going to a barbecue today? Oh, this is a sad place. Well, you're going through a drive-thru at least. I like it when you can order by number. I'll have the number 5 with fries. Is that right? We're doing something good for Dad, though, aren't we? Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now look at, guys. Again, we talk about this being the book. Oh, yeah, speaking of Dad, Brent's missing. And he's the father of this house. And even though he's in Mexico, suffering for Jesus. This isn't being taped, is it? No, I'm just kidding. When he goes out there, he works hard. Yeah. But he's the papa of this house. And to have that kind of a covering, well, you've got somebody that's, and again, I'll go back to when somebody's got your back. You hang around with Brent at all, and he sees anything in you, or you have that desire. And this is quoting your dad. He said, I'll open up the door for you. He's done it for me. He will open up the door for you. And so when you've got somebody that's standing in behind and you're just encouraging your socks off, right? That kind of thing. And that's what Brent does. And it's just a boldness that comes over you. Right, Dad? This means yes. Okay, so look. This is, oh, man. This is good. Now, guys, girls, don't listen, okay? Just shut your ears off. We're going to talk about love. And one of the ways that you can love your wife is emotionally. Now, if you're dating somebody, secret weapon. Are you ready for this? These are words that every woman, I found them, that every woman just aches to hear. Oh, if only he would say this. So I'm gonna just share this. I'm gonna tell you where I got it so you can use it. But remember, you got it from me. No, actually, I got it from the Word. So could you imagine tomorrow morning when your wife, your bride, the woman that you've married, could you imagine rolling over and saying to her, "Rise up, my love, my fair one. and come away. Oh, my dove. About this time she's doing 911, right? Harry's had another stroke. No, it's the word. It's the word. It's right here. Oh, my dove. In case you've forgotten her name. It happens. No, it doesn't. Let me see your face. Let me hear your voice. I just think of that gentle cooing. For your voice is sweet, and your face is lovely. There you go, guy. That's it. That's the silver bullet. That's when you pop up in the morning. Right? You just, wow, things have picked up, right? But what it's really saying is honoring each other. It's honoring each other. And you know, when you do that, it just brings out the best. It just brings out the best. Right? It's like gas and matches. Something's going to happen. Right? Ask any 10-year-old. I don't have a whole bunch of time to finish this. And I want to be respectful of those people that have got plans today. Oh, this is all good stuff. It's coming out in the book this fall, I'm sure. See, this is my halfway mark. Oh, God is good. But I want to leave you with the story. And I'm not... And us guys don't always get it right. I know, I was shocked to learn that. But my wife said, you're really close. I found out that close only works with hand shoes and hand grenades and horseshoes. That's when close can work. I was really close. So this, anybody heard of the, what do you call a girl author, an authoress? I don't know, I'm just trying to be sensitive to the female. Whatever, be okay. I come in peace. Okay. And I'm just going to finish up with the story and then I'm going to close off with a prayer. Is that okay? Oh, man. I got brought my own. Found them on the floor in the bathroom. Okay. So Irma Bombeck. Anybody know of Irma Bombeck? She's a writer. The only book I remember that she wrote was, it's a long title, but if life is just a bowl of cherries, why am I in the pits? Yeah, that's a really good question, Irma. But Irma did write this, I'm sure, when Father was on her. And this will just encapsulate. This is just specifically for Dad. Is that okay? Not to say that we don't love ladies and all that good stuff, but this is just for the guys. High-test stuff. You ready? I'm just going to read this for you, if you'll forgive me for reading it. Too long to memorize it. When the Lord was creating fathers, he started with a tall frame. An angel standing nearby said, "What kind of father is that? If you're going to make children so close to the ground, why have you put fathers up so high? He won't be able to shoot marbles without kneeling. He won't be able to tuck a child into bed without bending. He won't even be able to kiss a child without stooping." God smiled and said, "Yes, but if I make him child size, who will the children have to look up to?" And when God made the father's hands, they were large. The angel shook his head and said, "I don't think you want to make hands that large. Large hands are clumsy. They can't manage diaper pins and elastics for ponytails and working with small buttons. And how is a big hand like that supposed to pull a splinter out of a child's hand?" God smiled again and said, "I know, but they're large enough to hold everything a small boy empties out of his pockets at the end of the day. Yet small enough to cup a child's face in his hands." Then God molded long, slim legs and broad shoulders. The angel nearly had a heart attack. Boy, this is the end of the week, all right. How are you going to pull a child close to him without the kid falling between his legs? God smiled and said, a mother needs a lamp, but a father needs strong shoulders to pull a sleigh, balance a boy on a bicycle, or hold a sleepyhead on the way home from the circus. God was in the middle of creating two of the largest feet anyone had ever seen when the angel could not be contained any longer. That's not right, he said. You don't honestly think that those large boats are going to get out of bed early in the morning when the baby cries? You heard it first. Or walk through the small birthday party without crushing at least three of the guests? Again, God smiled and he said, they'll work. You'll see. They'll scare off mice at the summer cabin or leave footprints that will be a challenge to follow. God worked through the night, giving the father few words, but a firm voice and eyes that saw everything. Finally, almost as an afterthought, he added tears. Then he turned to the angel and said, now are you satisfied that he could love as much as the mother? The angel was silent. The angel was silent. So when Bev was working through her tears, I think I'm right there with you, girl. So I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for each person in this room. Each person in this room. We think of our little people downstairs. But Father, just for today, we highlight Papas. And we think of Brent, who's away. We think of those who are going overseas. Papas. And Father, I release over them, Father, just your Holy Spirit. Father, that they would know, that they would know, that they would know that nothing can snatch us out of your hand. Nothing. We can leave, but nothing can take us out of that place. And so, Father, I just release that over every person here. I just thank you, Father God. I just take a look and I just see the potential that you have jam-packed, full, waiting to just to release the love of the Father, that prophetic word, being involved in a life group, whatever. And I thank you, Father God, that every person in this room has it in spades. The only reason you may not have it is because you believe you don't have it. But Father, and scripturally, we just balance that out, right? You carry that. You have it. And it's been paid for. People say, well, it's free. It's been paid for the great, great price. We receive it. And I pray that today, it just be that refreshing. That we all know this cerebrally, right? But to be that thing in your heart, you think, oh, touch my heart, renew my heart. Thank you, Father, that I'm a papa in the house. And maybe your children have grown up. Maybe you're one of those papas waiting for children. But you can still be a papa. Did you know that? Some of us get to be grandpapas. So, Father, again, I just thank you for this awesome day. I just release blessing and wellness and encouragement. Father, that's the whole thing about encouraging. That's just lending what I have. It's just lending. I'm not giving anything from me. I'm just lending what I have. I'm just saying, you can have this. It's not just mine. It's yours. I release encouragement. Maybe there's people in this room who say, that's what I need today, is an encouraging word. This is your word. You just take it and you just stuff it down deep in your heart. And let it take root. And it will grow. It will grow. I thank you, Father, for this precious time together. I praise you and I thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for being here today and being with us. And